Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Good to be here with you, Between the Lines. We're in the book of Isaiah today. Isaiah is so packed full of information. Everything from God hates religion to I give you all these chances and you just keep sinning over and over and over again. You get into end days in Isaiah, all sorts of prophecies, millennial period. It's just an amazing book. We're in chapter 58 here today. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. There's a lot of religion connotation in there. You know, religion can get you into a routine where you approach God in certain ways and religious rituals and things like that. But is your heart really into it? You got to make sure that you don't become a religious zealot who really doesn't have a relationship with God. Because religion, like this book says so many times, will end you in hell and bondage. God wants a personal relationship. That's why the first covenant was simply follow me with all your heart. The law was laid on the children of the patriarchs because they refused to follow the first covenant given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart. Like a good father, he laid the law on them. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? What's he saying right there? We're going through these routines. Are you not noticing God? Yeah, we're fasting. We're even not even showering on the days we're fasting because we want people to know we're fasting.
Can't you tell?
Yeah, that's what he says there. Can't you tell we're fasting? We're afflicting ourselves. And some of these modern religious fasts, we're fasting chocolate this week, Jonathan.
Yep.
I was talking to a guy down at the lumberyard a year or two ago, and he's telling him about his church and all. And he says, yes, we're the whole church is fasting this week. I said, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I said, it's a complete fast. Well, we're fasting chocolate and sweets this week. You gotta be kidding.
All right.
A fast, right. Is, like he says there, you're supposed to afflict yourself, yeah. Put pain into your body. Yeah. You know, I've fasted many, many times, multiple weeks. And the first 3 or 4 days, your body says, I'm going to die if you don't feed me. All right. Yeah. The stomach growling is not enough. I'm going to give you a headache now. Yeah.
Make sounds you never thought you'd ever hear.
You're going to have a headache, and you're going to get delusional. You're going to have hunger pains. I'm going to kill you if you do not feed me. But they're saying God here, you know, we're doing all this religious stuff. Haven't you noticed? Afflicting our soul. Now take us no knowledge. Does it not mean anything that I'm fasting chocolate this week, Lord? No, it doesn't. God wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want religious ridiculousness. Fasting is wonderful for your personal relationship with God. Your mind becomes very clear and your spirit man takes control. You'd be surprised how much of a drug fried chicken is to the spirit man. The more you feed him, the more he goes to sleep. The more he goes to sleep, this mind that is contrary to the will of God will take over. And you won't see the spirit man for a while. Oh, but we're fasting chocolate this week. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So are you really seeking me, God? God says, are you really seeking me? You're just going through these routines because you're not afflicting yourselves. You're really not doing it. I want you to draw near to me. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. You fast when you get into problems, when you have things in your life that just kind of get out of control. You know what? Don't wait till you're in the ditch to approach God. You need to approach God daily. You need to have that personal relationship with Him. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It's not going to do you any good if you only come to me when you have problems. Yes, I'm going to be there, but you know what? You pay for your sins in this life. If you're constantly following after me with all your heart, I'm going to build a hedge around you and keep these problems away from you. You only approach me when you have problems. I'm going to go ahead and lay the rod to you because you shouldn't have gotten that situation already. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? He's questioning all their religion. Why must you go through this? I've told you time and time again, I hate religion, says God. I want a personal relationship with you. I gave you the religion as a punishment. Now you're using it as a tool to make yourself feel better. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? What fast is he talking about there? Not talking about a fast. He's talking about a personal relationship. He's talking about, follow me with all your heart. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Oh, what is he getting into? Christ's ministry there, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the law. Is this the kind of fast you want to do, or you make yourself look sick and you don't eat chocolate this week? No. Yeah. What kind of fast do I want? Deal thy bread to the hungry. Charitable. Be charitable. Bring poor to your home. When thou seekest the naked, that thou cover him. Love thy neighbor as yourself. And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. How do you hide from your own flesh, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. The only thing I think is the covering.
The spirit man is not in control. He's hiding because he's been put to sleep by those giant fried chicken dinners after service on Sunday. Oh, man, God has a lot of info right here in Isaiah 58. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Oh my gosh, you could spend a week on this. He's basically saying here, religion is going to get you nowhere. I don't care about your fast. I don't care about your sacrifices. And what's he tell you to do right there in 7? Be charitable. Be good to the poor. Give everything to your neighbor that you can give to help him. And then what will happen in verse 8? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. The only thing he wants is you to follow him with all your heart. And I tell you what, from personal experience, you follow God with all your heart, you will be charitable. You will love thy neighbor. You will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You will think and dwell on him daily. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. But he didn't say he would answer when you're going through your religious rituals just a few verses back. He said, you've got to, and what verse 7 there was Christ's ministry down to the letter. What did Christ say? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself, and you have completed the law. You have put all the religion behind you because that's all I want from you, the simplicity of following me with all your heart. Oh, man, thou shalt Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke. And what is the yoke?
Mm-hmm.
The yoke of the law. The yoke of bondage that I placed on you because you would not follow me with all your heart. The putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Yeah, and we see what the law did to the line of the Levites, the priests. Oh my gosh, proud and vain men they were. They made themselves grander and grander and began making money off of God's law. Televangelist, the pulpit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Old Phineas started it all. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Wow. What's he basically saying there in 10? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. There's nothing of darkness will be in you. Because I don't think the human being, and I have encountered many, many human beings in my life, I don't think the human being can actually do those things if they do not have their heart focused on God. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. You can't overlook all the things about your neighbor that you don't like. Maybe even something as simple as he doesn't smell very good, you know? Or he does this. I don't do that. All of those things shall be overlooked. Forgiveness, absolute forgiveness. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Look at this. Blessings for doing that. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell. Not only do you get blessings and a hedge built around you when you follow God with all your heart, your future offspring do too. Absolutely amazing. Verse number 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Okay. We got to examine this verse 14 for all of you holiness Christians out there that have to hold on to the law, even though Christ's sacrifice was perfect. But you just got to hold on to that Sunday and make it holy. Can't do nothing on Sunday, even if your neighbor is in a pit of quicksand and he can't get out. Just kind of take your foot and nudge a little twig over there to him. They can hold on and say, I'll be here tomorrow because I can't pull you out of there on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was able to bend the twig over though. But you know what? Sunday's not even the Sabbath. And that 14 basically says Christ is your Sabbath. You got to read 13 and 14 together. Then shalt thou delight thyself. If you do these things, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Christ is your Sabbath. Find your rest in Christ. You know, the three portions of the law, the morality portion of the law is the Ten Commandments. They are absolutely wonderful for any person in this world to follow. You know, the ceremonial and the spiritual portions of the law are very much into bondage and very much into religious practice. And that was the portion that was supposed to punish the Jews because they wouldn't follow God with all their heart. But the morality portion of Levitical law, the Ten Commandments, are an absolute wonderful thing if you follow them. No good can come, no bad can come of it from following the Ten Commandments. But God, after Christ, and even before Christ, we have seen that following God with all your heart trumps the law, and it even trumps the Sabbath of the morality clause within the law, because Christ did not follow the Sabbath bondage in the law. He worked on the Sabbath, and that's one of the reasons the Pharisees were able to accuse him. Well, how did Christ work on the Sabbath and fulfill the law? Because he fulfilled all of the ceremonial and spiritual aspects of the law, but he was never bound to the law because he followed God with all of his heart, like the everlasting first covenant given to Abraham in Genesis. I give you, Abraham, an everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And like I say all the time, he only gave them the law as a punishment. But the morality portion of the law is an essential portion for anyone to follow. But don't feel, Christian, that you're bound to the Sabbath portion of that. There's only one part of that that you must absolutely never, never trespass against. And that's rule number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because we see that King David went right on down the list after that one and checked them all off. And pretty much broke them all, most of them. And God said he had a perfect heart because he always, during all of his time when he fell off of the path, his heart, his spirit man was crying out to God and repentance came. And God says, you know, if you get off the path, as soon as you start following me with all your heart, it's as though it never happened. So don't be... I come from the Holiness Church, so I can talk about it. You know, I was going to heaven one day, going to hell the next. What a roller coaster ride. Wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to say my prayers before I went to sleep. God, thank you for not letting me die. You die in your sins. You're going to hell. Well, that pretty much takes away all the sacrifice that Christ did because all of my sins were pinned on him, even my future ones already. And if I'm driving down the road at 69 miles an hour in a 55 and I hit a tree, oh my gosh, to go to hell for something so easily as breaking a law, that's absurd. Don't be one of those guilty of telling Jesus Christ, your sacrifice just wasn't good enough. I got to hold on to portions of this law, which God continually says is trumped by the fact, the simple fact, if you can follow me with all your heart, you're on the path. And that's what Christ done when he came back. He reestablished the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. None of that cutting stuff. It's even easier now. Oh, wow. Isaiah's getting me worked up here today. All right. Chapter 59 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. Wonderful book of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's always there. None of his power. I don't care that you're not seeing these great miracles like our father seen when he came out of Egypt. God is still there. Mm-hmm. He still is powerful. He still sees and hears everything that you do. Think about that one, Christian, when the lights go out. Mm-hmm. And you're in a dark place where you shouldn't ought to be because you ate too much fried chicken and your spirit man went to sleep and all of a sudden you woke up in a place you shouldn't be. God knows. God sees. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Examine that very closely. Your sins has hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Remember when Christ was hanging on the cross? There was one point where God turned his face away. because holiness, sin cannot stand before holiness. Mm-hmm. And his son was on the cross, and his attention was focused right there. But when all of our sins, yours, mine, everyone's, was hung on Jesus Christ, it became such an abominable thing for God to look at because of your sin and my sin. Yeah, that part hurts me. I made Christ to look like an abominable thing, to where his father had to turn his face away. It's there. See, your sins, all little sins, big sins. Mm-hmm. The Bible says a sin is a sin.
Yep.
It's when the sins continually stack up and become more and more.
Mm-hmm. And then you're into transgression land at that point.
Yes, absolutely.
Where you make excuse for the sin and all that and just continue on.
David? Right. Yeah. Oh, no. How do we cover that sin up?
Yeah.
Let's have Uriah killed. Well, that's another sin. Yeah, but maybe that'll be the last sin.
See, isn't that weird how that, and I know it's an odd parallel, but like it's like they say about when we tell a little white lie, you have to keep on and keep on and keep on. It's
keep
like
going.
Almost like same thing with David there, like what you were talking about.
And I tell you what, from experience, you ever get into that, you need to keep a journal of the lies in chronological order so that you can make sure you keep them straight.
Right. When somebody asks you something, tell them, just please hold for a minute.
Yes. Let me review my white lie folder and make sure,
sure
I explain this exactly the way it's really happened.
All right.
He will not hear. Says he's, you get in a sinful state. The only thing God's going to hear from you is repentance. After repentance, then we can work on the repair prayers, okay? That's what he did. He turned his face away from Christ when all of humanity's sins were pinned on him. And Christ felt it. My Father.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Eloi, 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 Elo sabachthani? Why hast thou forsaken me? You know? I'm here. I'm punished. I'm being punished. But I felt your presence. And now I don't feel it anymore.
Worst thing in the world.
Yes. The worst, especially for a pure human being and spirit like he was. Never, never separated from the Father, even while walking here in a flesh body. We could only hope to feel that for moments at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all of a sudden taken away. And God said, I took pleasure in wounding my son. Because I knew in his wounding, I could be reunited with my children. Wow. Can you imagine wounding your child, Christian, just to have a good relationship with your neighbor again? I can't fathom it. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. I think he's talking about King David there, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
David is the good example.
I think he's talking a little bit about all of us.
Yeah, he is. But David came to mind when he was sitting there.
Yeah, I got you.
But David is the gold standard example for good man gone bad came back. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crusheth breaketh out into a viper. And he's just chronicling the lost here. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And I know lots of people like this, unfortunately. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. There's a, I see there as a religious practices. You know, we wait for light, but we walk in darkness and obscurity. We're not seeking God with our heart. We're just going through the motions. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.